Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for Sunday. This will be the Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord, the revelation of Christ in the flesh to his people. Oh, brothers and sisters, that God would do it that way is it's personally very touching to me, that he would come as a baby. He could have come in all kinds of power and dominion and authority and all kinds of things. He came as a child, the most vulnerable. He came as a child, and the wise men from the East came to adore him. Oh, brothers and sisters, I ponder this so much, so often, that he made himself very small for you and for me, that we might not be afraid of him, that we might come to him, that we might care for him, that we might walk with him as he grows into adulthood, that we might be at his side. He did that for us, the epiphany of God. He made himself known to us. Let's ponder these readings in that light today. From Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant of what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. And Psalm 72 tells us, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Do you? Do I? Do we? You know, I've begun a practice where I say to the Lord every day, I'm here, my life is yours, I'm at your disposal. Do with me what you want. Brothers and sisters, he really is revealing himself to us. That's how I say it. You may say it very differently. I know many of you are married, family, you have concerns, but put God first and you will be amazed at how many other things will fall into place. Or at least they will become easier for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give God everything. He gave it to you. You return it to him and it has safekeeping. You won't lose your life forever. You won't. If you truly seek to follow him, repent when you fail. Don't just get so caught up in the world and the mad pace at which we're racing these days. Stop. We're going faster and faster and faster until we don't even think sometimes. Brothers and sisters, I've said this to you many times. Give God time daily. I know I've been hammering this home this week, but I really want you to take a look at it. I want those who regularly listen to this program to draw closer to him. I don't just want you to get a good idea for the day. I want your life to be more and more his, that he may lead us in the way he wants us to go. Today is the Epiphany of the Lord, and God wants an epiphany in your own life of showing him forth more clearly in your life and in what you believe. You don't need to preach. It's the way you act. It's the way you speak. It's your generosity. We say in Psalm 72, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Come with your judgment to endow the king with your justice, the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flourish in his days and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And may, as the psalm goes on, it speaks about the kings of Tarshish and the poor wherever they are and the afflicted and how he will care for the lowly and the needy. Put your life with his. Put your life right with his. You don't just say, oh, God is somewhere way out there. He's so far away. God is closer than your breath. He's right there. And he wants to draw you closer. He wants this year to be a change in your life where you really reach out for the poor, the sick, the ignorant, those who have great difficulties. Reach out. Don't be afraid. If they dismiss you, don't be discouraged by that. Just go and seek out what the Lord wants of you and take care of your own family. Is there anything more you could be doing within your family that needs to be done? Or the people with whom you live? Is there another way that you could care for them? Brothers and sisters, whatever our living circumstances, God desires to be present, and he certainly loves it when we give him the authority to lead our gathering, our grouping, or our family, whatever it may be. How much glory we can give to him, even in the small things of life. So pay attention to that closely. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says this, "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, co-partners in the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel." God wants to bring us all together. He wants to unite us, one voice, one chorus, praising him. We may do it in different ways, but it shouldn't be dissonant from one another. It should really bring great joy and praise and glory before God. Open your heart and say, oh, I have so much to do. Well, what does God want you to do? Sit down and take a look at it. Really look at it. Why am I doing this just because it gives me a title? Why am I doing this because it gives me more power? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if I'm doing it for the right reasons, then Lord, help me to organize this so that you can assume your rightful place. I've been saying that all week, and I want to continue to say it until we really do something about it. And now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." Now when King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures, and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. In every way, Jesus, as a helpless child, was being protected. God wants you to draw near to him as he lies helpless and vulnerable in this little bed, so to speak. People brought him all kinds of gifts. But what about the gift of our hearts? No, that really, in my thinking, certainly God's coming as man is by far the greatest thing, that we see him in the flesh as a vulnerable baby. He came so that nobody would be afraid of him, that all of us would come to him. Have you? Have you drawn near to him, or do you just say, oh yeah, it's another day? Have you given your life more to God? Have you honored him? Have you sought him? Have you thanked him? How much have you thanked him during this season, this Christmas season? Look what he's done for you. He's made himself wholly accessible. And even though you and I, in our generation, many times have thought, as previous generations to us have done, is just to say, oh yeah, it's Christmas, or oh yes, it's New Year's. And I mentioned that to you before, but I want to take a look at it now. What Jesus has done for us has been done for us by no other person. No one could do what he has done for us. No one. And I really want to urge you, thank him daily. Thank him. Thank him for what he has done to come in the flesh for you and me. Thank him for the gifts he has given you. Thank him for the trials that you're bearing, because they're intended to draw you closer to him. Look to him for his help and his saving grace. And I pray, too, that if you need help of others, that it will come to you. I can't go across the United States right now and do that, but I certainly can pray for all of you in whatever need you're in. Open your heart to him. Trust him. He came as a baby. He died as our Savior. Cherish him. Draw nearer to him than you've been drawn. Don't just parrot the words. Even if you said three sentences and meant them, it could be a tremendous prayer time. Come before him and thank him over and over again for what he has done for you. Because nobody ever had this happen than what has happened to us through Christ. No one. It's yours, and you would scoff at it or turn away from it. Please, pray for others and pray for yourself. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.